It's Marketplace Tech for Friday the 26th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The internet is powered by vast banks of computers which chew up energy. That's expensive for the people who run these servers, and it has real cost to the earth, depending on how all the electricity is generated. Aaron Rallo is CEO of TSO Logic, which offers a solution to this.
We're seeing from 50 to 60% savings, simply by removing the variation in the workload. And we build out all of the server infrastructure to support holiday shopping, and then in March, all of those servers stay on, stay spinning, and the opportunity to save there is just massive.
It's like turning off two of the three burners on a barbecue if all you're doing is grilling up a single patty.
What our software does is it takes a look at the incoming workload, figures out how many servers you need to support that workload, and then we control the power state accordingly. And I say control power state because we don't always turn them off. In some cases, we can just reduce the power draw of a machine. In some cases, we can hibernate a machine. And then in other cases, we will go ahead and just turn it right off.
Another company working to make the net more efficient is Joyent. Its chief technology officer is Jason Hoffman, who has a background in medicine. It's his view that the demands are going to get so high on our digital systems, given all the computer chips or CPUs going into things, that we'll need some big technological leaps.
We are actually now at the point where we're shipping, you know, 10, 12, 15 CPUs per human being on the planet that's going into some sort of embedded device. You know, whether it be an automobile or a Nike Fuel band that you're wearing on your wrist or, you know, your refrigerator.
We've been calling that the Internet of Things. Some people call it the Internet of Everything, but that's the trend, apparently.
Yeah, and we're deciding that all of human life is going to become much like what, well, say, happens in the retail space, putting, you know, cellular chips on pallets, and you can literally track where everything is. To put sort of a number on these types of things, I think, which is important. And we decide we're going to sequence every person's genome and instrument our health, largely because, you know, healthcare is the number one thing we spend money on. If we decided just to do that, we would get through about 5% of the U.S. population before we exhausted every hard drive or storage device that mankind's ever made.
So how do we begin to solve this? Sketch out what your general approach would be, because it sounds like the capacity is here to essentially break the back of the internet because the demands will be too high going into the future unless we rethink this.
We have to think back 30 years. I mean, I think you and I both remember a time before everyone had a PC. You know, in 1982, IBM put out a PC computer that had, you know, a chip from an unknown memory manufacturer named Intel and an operating system from an unknown compiler company named Microsoft. And we know how that history has played out over the last 30 years. There was a complete break from the past. And so what we are going to see, and it is starting now, is those types of exponential changes, entirely new operating systems, entirely new runtimes to write applications in, entirely new sort of frameworks, because the difference is so great that you actually, in some cases, do have to break from the past to sort of make that jump.
Jason Hoffman, Chief Technology Officer at Joyent, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And ever talked back to the newscaster? I know you have. ABC News has an app where you tap buttons marked clap, boo, laugh, gasp, and awe. If enough of your friends feel the same, your device makes the noise. Aw. Now, if Diane Sawyer could hear the noise live while she's anchoring, that would be a useful innovation. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.